This morning I have a message here about In the World is the name of the message. And it's one of those things that where we as Christians, we have to live in the world. And that's a hard thing sometimes. The world is a hard place. It's a great and glorious place many times, but sometimes it's a hard place. Because even as Christians, we face such things as death. We have family members that pass away, that die. And let's not sugarcoat it. Let's say they die. They no longer exist in our presence as a physical human being. They die. It comes to all of us. We face sickness. Individually, we all face sicknesses, and we have family members, friends who go through sicknesses, sometimes terrible sicknesses and horrible sicknesses that just rip people apart and just devastate them. We as Christians are not immune to that. As Christians in this world, we face depravity that it's almost unimaginable when we talk about the abuse that people inflict upon each other. Human beings treating human beings in such ways. Mistreating of children, which is probably one of the worst things that I can't even wrap my mind around the fact that there are human beings, people, flesh and blood, just like me, that breathe and think and watch and look and that they can be cruel to a child. We live in this world, folks. We live in it. But Jesus tells us in John chapter 17, verses 14 through 19, that's not the scripture I've got, Brenny, but I just leading up to it, I'm going to read that. Jesus tells us that while we are in this world, that we are not of it. Hear what Jesus says in chapter 17 of John, verse 14 through 19. Jesus says this, I have given them, he's praying, and this is a prayer for his disciples. He's praying and speaking to God. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. See, Jesus prayed. I don't pray that you take them out of the world, God. See, he didn't pray that we be above the things that come into the world. He didn't pray that we be immune from the sicknesses and diseases and depravity that humankind can inflict upon themselves. He says, I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. In other words, that he would keep us from what the evil this world has to offer. He would keep us from Satan. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by my truth. The world is a tough place. This morning, what I want to look at is how we can live in this world as Christians. How can we live in this world and not be part of it? Paul, in his second letter to his friend and companion and to his protege, so to speak, Timothy, he starts his letter off. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. He starts it off with giving him some characteristics that are needed to live in the world. Let's read those verses. And if you have your Bible, read with me or read with me on the screen. Paul says this, 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am pleased is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Paul in this passage is telling us three characteristics, probably telling us many more than that, but three this morning that I want to look at. The first two very briefly. He's telling us in verse 5, if you want to look back at that, verse 5 he says, when I call to remembrance that genuine faith that is in you. Timothy had a genuine faith, a genuine faith. Paul is telling Timothy to keep that faith, to not let it get away from him. It's a genuine faith that was handed down from his grandmother and his mother to him, and to take that genuine faith on with him and share it in his teaching and the way he lived his life. What does it mean to have genuine faith? It means to have the real thing and not some watered down, false version of it. And the only way you can have a genuine faith, folks, is that it be grounded in this word right here. Not in any word of any preacher, not in any book that any human being has written, but in this book that God ordained. If you can't find it in this, if it deviates and goes out and is in contradiction to what is here, then you have failed to continue and remain in the genuine faith. That's all you can say. We can't go any further. Folks, as Christians, we just can't make it up on our own. We can't fly by the seat of our pants and say, oh, well, you know, I'm not such a bad person. That's okay. Well, yes, you make mistakes. I make mistakes. But there is a way around those mistakes that we make, and it's called the blood of Jesus and being forgiven and sanctified and washed clean. Amen. Through acceptance of Him. And that's the only way, folks. That's what the book says. That's not what Fred says. That's what the book says. That is the genuine faith. That's how we have to live in the world, because the world will tell us all sorts of things. The world will tell us that it's okay to be anything you want to be, and that you can determine what's right and what's wrong, and what truth, the only truth is what's true to you. What's true to me may not be true to you. Well, you can be brainwashed by that. You can become to believe that. But the Word says that God is only the only truth, and His Word. The second thing that we need to live in this world, which is depraved and just undeniably evil, is that we need a courageous testimony. Verse 8, Paul says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me. In other words, folks, we've got to be willing to take what God has said, not make excuses for it, not water it down and make it fit what the world would like to hear, but to tell it like it is and let the Holy Spirit convict, let the Holy Spirit provide the grace and the mercy that's necessary. We don't need to make it harsher than it is. I am never, if I do, y'all tell me about it, but I am never going to tell anybody that you're going to hell. You will not hear me say that, because I do not have that ability. I do not have that judgment capability. I don't have that insight. Only God knows those things. And I'm going to leave that up to God. We need to have a good testimony. We need to have a balanced testimony that tells the truth, that doesn't take it farther than it tells it, that doesn't water it down and make it less than the Word says it. We need to have a courageous testimony that says what's true and is not concerned with what may happen from it. It's hard to do that in this world in which we live. Because the world, the first thing we do when we say that something is not right, now we don't say you're going to hell, but we believe a particular activity or behavior or something is wrong, is sinful. And the first thing you do when you say that and identify that as a sinful behavior is that you get labeled as some kind of hater or somebody who is spreading hate among people. That's not it at all. The reason we as Christians have this courageous testimony or should have a courageous testimony is because we want the truth to be revealed and to be shared about what God's Word is. And that even if it may cause me some kind of difficulty, I'd rather tell you the truth about something and your soul be saved than to not tell you the truth and be able to get by smooth and easy and never have any conflict in my life. I want the truth to be told. I want to be able to tell truth. And I'm not always the best at that. Because I want to be liked. I want people to think, you know, he's a pretty good guy and he's an all right person and he's a loving person. And I hope that I am that to people. But I also want people to see me that I'm not going to water down what God has said in his word here, and I'm going to speak the truth to you courageously, even though it may not be what I want to tell you or what you want to hear, but I'm going to be faithful to God and be courageous to that testimony. The third thing, I'm spending just a little more time on that, not too much more, is that we must have a complete trust. Verse 12. For this reason I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. A complete trust. Paul had a complete trust in the Father that everything that had been entrusted to him. Now, this trust, now, we've got to think about this, a complete trust. What is complete trust? Is it just blindly jumping off the end of the diving board when somebody blindfolded when somebody says there's water down there below? No, it's not just that. It's not just a blind, totally blind leap of faith. But complete trust means that we have put something in with God. The Greek word that's used here for that's translated as this in this sense as whom I have believed and am persuaded that he will be able to keep means it's translated as trust in some versions, in some translations, but the Greek word means to make a deposit with someone that is entrusted to them. It's kind of a banking term. It's a banking term that means that it's absolutely solid, that if you give that to that person, that they will return it to you with interest, bearing fruit. What Paul is saying here is that he is entrusting it to God, and that God is faithful. We need to trust God with everything. Just like I'm telling the kids there, just like we talk about with our tithes and our offerings that I've preached on before and don't preach on too often and going to touch on it today. We need to trust God with what we have. Whether it's building this new building, whether it's with our health, whether it's with our time in coming to Bible study or prayer group or working with the children or youth or coming to choir, whatever it is, trust God with it, folks. You say, I don't have time. I don't have the money. Well, trust God because He's in control of all those things. He's the author of time. He's the creator of all the universe. And we don't have to worry about those things if we will trust God. Just trust Him. That's complete trust. That's part of complete trust. The second part of complete trust is that God, not only do we trust God with all that we are and all that we have, including our pocketbook, is that God entrusts us. That kind of gives me cold chills when I think about God trusted me. Boy, I tell you what, He's in a mess. The church is in a mess. The world's in a mess if I'm the best that He's got. But you know, I look back and I'm in pretty good company if I'm the one, if you're the people that's being entrusted with this good news of Jesus Christ. Because see, the first people that were entrusted with it were a bunch of daggone old dirty, nasty, stinking, smelling fishermen. They weren't educated. They were hot-headed. They didn't know much about the world. They just were confined pretty much to a little area there called Galilee. But yet they changed the world. And now, can you imagine? Can you imagine now, as we look back now, is that the people that you really would have entrusted the good news of Christ with and the foundation of the church that would be perpetuated for 2,000 years with 12 ragtag fishermen that didn't own much more than the clothes they had on their back, maybe a few nets, rotten nets? You know, there's a story, I've heard it said before, that the church is always one generation away from extinction. And that's true when you think about it. If we don't carry on the tradition of the church, if we don't take what God has entrusted in us, this good news, the Holy Spirit that He's blessed us with, and if we don't share that with the generation in which is living and coming up today, then the church is dead. Now, I know that the church is not going to die, because I've read the Bible. I've read the end of the story. And Jesus Christ is going to be victorious, and the church is going to be the bride of Christ one day. I know that's going to happen, because He's entrusted that with us, and He says it will. Now, we exhibit a trust in God, this total trust, this trust that we place it in Him and that we accept the trust He placed in us. We exhibit that trust that He places in us in three ways, very quickly. By giving healthy words, verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. Paul doesn't say to Timothy, preach those crazy things I've told you. Don't go out and preach these crazy stories I've told you about things that Renee has done or that I have done. Don't go telling all that foolishness that you might hear us talking about at lunch or in Sunday school sometimes before we get started. Don't go out preaching that, but preach the sound words, the truthful words, the good teaching, the healthy words that bring healing and bring hope and bring eternal salvation. Tell and share those healthy words that God has entrusted to you. The second thing is a persistent faith. Now, we talked already about a genuine faith, but what is this persistent faith? It's persistent faith that means that you will be faithful to the Word. No matter what comes up, it's talking about fidelity, the same type of word that's used in a marriage covenant relationship, that you must have, there must be fidelity between a husband and wife for there to be a working, growing, thriving relationship. And that must happen in our relationship with God. We need to share the fidelity that God is faithful, and also share the hope of God, that is that thing that we hold on to and that we have the assurance of eternity. And the third thing that we must share, he says that in verse 13 also, the faithful words which you have heard from me in faith, and then the third thing, and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Love. What is love? Oh, we got all kinds of answers for that, haven't we? Do we think love is what we see on Grey's Anatomy? Do we think love is what we see when we watch the movies that we rent or on the internet? Do we think love is what Madison Avenue tells us in its advertising to sell all this array of consumer products that most of us have no need for, really, that we just indulge in? Love, folks, is seeing one another as God sees us. I can't love James there unless I can see him like God sees him. I can't love any of you unless I see you as God sees you. Not truly love you. Not truly love you. Not truly love you and go out of my way to be in ministry with you and to you. You can't do those things. And I know you people do this. I know you see people the way God does. I know, because I've had it done to me. You people have loved me, not because of the good-looking person that I am, not because of the eloquent speaker that I is, Not because that I get you out of here on at 12 o'clock every Sunday. But you've loved me because you see me in my weaknesses, in my faults, and in my failures as God sees me. And you know that God loves me. I've witnessed that over the last month when Renee's had surgery and been sick. I've seen when Lynn comes over to the hospital and sits there with me. I've seen it. And Margaret. I see it. Folks, that's the only way that truly you're going to love anybody. See them as God sees them. You know, there are people, we all have people that just, you know, just seem to get on our nerves sometimes. And, you know, and even sometimes it's not your spouse that gets on your nerves, you know. But we just have to love each other as God sees us. There's a way we can live in this world, folks, as Christians. We don't have to become transformed by the world, but we can live in this world and we can live victorious and we can be the agents of transformation of those people that are consumed by the world when we exhibit the love of Jesus Christ, when we exhibit that persistent faith, and when we share those good sound doctrinal words, those good sound teachings. Genuine faith, a courageous testimony, and total and complete trust in God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that lives and guides and teaches each of us. Folks, let's don't just be here. Let's be in the world where God has put us. There's a building that's going to go up out there. I have all the faith in the world that there is. And if it's just a building that's going to sit there, then let's burn it down before we ever build it. But if it's going to be a building where Jesus Christ is going to be shared and where the love of God is going to be poured out and expressed in ways, then let's build it to His glory and to His name. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank You this morning that we can live in the world, that we can live in it and not be part of it because we have You. Lord, may we trust You. May we put all our deposit all that we are in who You are. May we take what You give us. May we use it as a blessing. Lord, we thank You this morning. May we be agents of transformation as You are transforming us right now. We glorify Your name and give You all the praise. In Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.